this lesson this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter. Actually, let's go to chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I want to talk this morning. You know, I'm a missionary. Because I'm a missionary and I do so much with missions, I live in Africa. You know, I like to teach about missions. I love to preach about it because that's really where my heart is. That's really what I really focus on so much of my life on. And this morning, I really want to talk about the malfunction of missions, when it doesn't work. And I know it sounds really negative. And normally I don't like teaching negative lessons, but we're going to try to put a positive spin on it later on. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we're going to be there in just one second. We're going to be looking at a man, a king actually, King Asa of Judah. We're going to look at his example and really try to apply it to our lives today in our witness and as we try to go out and reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before we begin, why don't we start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Lord, we love you, and we just are looking forward to what you're going to teach us this morning to be in your house, Lord, with your people. Lord, please just speak to us, Lord, as only you can. Lord, I don't want people necessarily to hear me, Lord, but I want them to hear you. Lord, I want you to speak to our hearts, Lord, and change us and open up our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things that are found in thy law. We love you so much. We ask you to bless this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of the context of what we're looking at, we have King Asa here of Judah. And in chapter 14, we find him in the midst of a battle. And not just any kind of battle, but he's outnumbered, he's outgunned, and he's really kind of in an overwhelming situation. And in the midst of this battle, we find him in verse 11, and that's what we're going to take up this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. You know, Asa here, he was in a battle. And just like Asa, we too, we find ourselves in a battle, if you will. And our battle is, you know, quite different, obviously, from the one that Asa found himself in. We're not fighting today with, you know, spears and chariots and swords, but we are in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And the battle that we're in, we face it every day. You know, and whether we want to acknowledge that there is this battle or whether we don't want to acknowledge, it doesn't really change the fact that this battle is going on. It goes on around us. You know, we fight for the glory of God. We fight for the souls of men, for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times in the New Testament, you'll find scripture, like in, I think, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. But it goes on, you know, telling us to be what? To be a good soldier, right? So we're soldiers for Jesus Christ. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so we need to remember that we are fighting for something. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. And just like in any war, you know, sometimes we win the battle. You know, sometimes we have victories. Sometimes we go out there and we can just feel that God is with us, right? I mean, how many of you, maybe at some point in your life, you really have felt that, you know, God was working with you in a great way? Where other times, maybe you felt like, you know, like, where is God? Maybe you've been doing something and you're like, man, I just don't feel God's presence like I did back over here. But just like in any war, we have some victories and we have some defeats. But when so much is at stake, we can't really afford to lose in this fight that we're in. When the souls of men and women are lying in the balance, we can't afford to mess up. We need to take heed as the Bible says, to the things that we know, the things that we've learned, to remember that we're in this fight and we need to go out. You know, missions is about being a witness. It's about going out and telling people about Jesus Christ and how they can be saved and how he can change their life. You know, when I was preparing this message, I was thinking a lot about our lives, my life, and I was thinking, you know, why do we sometimes not tell people? You know, why is it that sometimes, you know, when God is working in our heart, we don't listen to his voice when he says, you know, we should go talk to that person, or we should go over here and witness to this man or to that lady. Sometimes we kind of like, no, Lord, I just, not today, not right now. You know, a lot of times it's easier to think in our mind, it's easier to think that if we don't do the job that God has for us, that someone else will. Right? I mean, how many times have you thought, well, you know, I don't really need to tell them, because if I don't tell them, God will call someone else and they'll eventually hear. And you know, I think a lot of times we tell ourselves that, and it makes us feel good. Because, I mean, when we think that way, then there's two options kind of in our mind. One is we can obey God, and when God works in our heart to witness and to go out and reach someone with the gospel, we can obey God and tell them, and we get a blessing, and someone can get saved. Then the second option in our mind is, well, maybe I don't have to obey God. And, you know, well, maybe I won't get the blessing, but God will call someone else, and that person will still hear, and they'll still get saved. And I can still remain comfortable, and I don't have to really put myself out too far. And in our mind, a lot of times, we think there's these only two options where, you know, even if we don't obey God, that people will still hear, that people will still, you know, they'll know and they'll learn about Jesus Christ. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33 really quick. But you know, what if we don't tell them? You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say that if we neglect to reach the lost and to do our part to win the lost with the gospel, nowhere does it say that you know, God might just call someone else to tell them. You know, I wonder how many times maybe when we should be telling someone the gospel that was that person's chance to hear and to receive the word of God. And if we don't allow ourselves to be used by God, then what is going to happen to that person? Will they hear the gospel later on? Or maybe one day will they die and go to hell because we failed in our duty as soldiers for Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel chapter 33, in verse 6, you know, we all know this passage talks about the watchman. But if the watchman, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. You know, the idea here is that there is a city, there's a watchman. If the watchman sees danger coming, an enemy coming, and the enemy comes, the people in the city are killed, then who's at fault? The watchman. But the watchman doesn't get a second chance. You know, if the enemy comes, he doesn't blow the trumpet, and the city is invaded, there is no second chance. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, people that we see in the road, that they're not going to get another chance, but who knows? Maybe they won't. Maybe you were their second chance. Maybe the people that we meet, maybe we were the ones that God had called to go and tell them. And when we say no to God, maybe we're the ones that are sending them to hell because we don't want to follow God's will in our life. You know, it's not as easy to think about that. It's easier just to think that someone else will tell them. But we can't keep on thinking that someone else will tell them. Someone else will go. Someone else will do it. The preacher will go. The pastor will go. God wants us to go. God wants you to go. He wants all of us to be involved. He wants all of us to realize that we're all soldiers to go out and to fight in this battle. No one is what we call a bench warmer. There are no bench warmers in God's army. We should all be involved as much as we can. And if there's a breakdown in missions, you know, we talked about how I'm going to be talking about the malfunction in missions. If there is a breakdown, we can't blame this breakdown on God. We can't look at God and say, well, God messed up somewhere because obviously the job is not getting done. We can't look at His plan, the Great Commission, and say, well, you know, maybe the plan is just, you know, there's some flaws in it. No, we can't do it. We can't even blame the U.S. government, right? We can't blame our president. We can't blame the failing economy. You know, Christians, you know, I've heard so many times, oh, you know, Christians aren't going out as much as they used to. You know, the economy is pretty bad. What has the economy got to do with us doing our job as Christians? You know, what is the government got to do with us following Jesus Christ? Nothing. Really nothing. You know, as Christians, one of our greatest desires in our life should be that God uses us. That God does something with our life. You know, with me, that is what I want for my life. I want God to use me. I want God to do something with me. We can go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. That's where we're going to be for a little while. You know, I don't want to live my life and then look back one day and say, what did I live for? What did I do? You know, there's so many things that we can do with our life. There's so many things that we can spend our life on. But as for me, I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. And I know that's what you want as well. But sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail in that. And we're going to be talking about a couple of different ways that we fail in our witness. And we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And number one, we fail in our witness when we fail to recognize God's power and our need for it. If we look at 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11 again, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. As we go out to try to win the lost, we need to remember that we need God's power. We need God's presence with us as we go out, or else we're just going to be spinning our wheels. You know, God's power to the Christian is almost like fuel, what fuel is to a car. Have you ever tried driving somewhere without any fuel? You're not going to get that far. You know, one of my worst fears in Africa is going out somewhere, whether in the bush or somewhere, and running out of fuel. It's never happened. Well, it's almost happened a couple times. You know, but one time I was driving from one town to another town, and in between there's just nothing but open bush. And there's no gas stations in between. There's nothing. And so, you know, you get to your destination, and then I always have a choice. Do I have enough fuel to get where I need to go, or do I need to turn back? And I always think in my mind, how far can I go with this fuel that I have? And I always have to think that no matter where I am, how far can I go? But, you know, if we apply that to our lives, we can ask ourselves the same thing. How far can we go in our own power, in our own strength? How far are we going to go in reaching the lost? How far are we going to go to try to make a difference? You know, when we look at Asa here in this battle, Asa, in the midst of this battle, said, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them they have no power. Listen, it doesn't matter. Reaching the lost has nothing to do with our ability or our inability. You know, there's some people that they get discouraged and they say, you know, the Lord can't use me because I'm really not qualified. Or, you know, I don't really feel like I can do that because I don't have the knowledge or I don't have this. And then there's some people on the other side of the spectrum that they kind of feel too much about their ability. And they're like, oh, man, I can do anything. But, you know, really, it doesn't have anything to do with our ability or our inability. It's about what God can do through us. That's what we want. When we go out to witness to someone on Saturday, I think you have your evangelism, we want God to be working through us and in us. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, we don't have to turn there just for sake of time. The Bible says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, But God that gives the increase. It doesn't really matter about us, does it? It doesn't really matter what ability we have or what ability we think we have. The only factor that we need to know is that we need God. Is that we need God's power. Because without God's power, we have nothing. And just like Asa, in the midst of his battle, he cried out and he said, "Lord, it's nothing with thee to help." You know, God is there for us to help in a great way. If we'll let him. If we'll let him help. If we'll allow him to work through our lives. You know, there's a lot of times in Africa, we've been through so many different things. And it's been amazing being able to watch God work in our life. Things that I would not be able to do myself. I remember going to one village. We went to this one village. And, you know, every village that we go to doesn't respond with open arms. But, you know, we went to this one village. And a lot of times when I go into a new area, I like to go to the chief first. It's kind of like the custom, just to kind of talk with him first, to have permission to talk to the people in his village. We were sitting with the chief, and the whole village, well, half the village is like gathered around us. And I thought, I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, this is just amazing. And so we're witnessing to the chief, and we spend an hour, we're talking with him, we're showing him the Bible, basically showing him what we want to tell everyone else. And he's excited. And he's like, wow, I want this. I want to accept this. And we're like, well, you can. And you know, and he did. And that chief there, he got saved, that headman. And what was amazing after that was, you know, I didn't have to say, well, I want to start here in this part of the village, or I would like to go here to this hut. He was like, I want you guys to come back on Friday. And I'm like, okay, we can come back on Friday. So we come back on Friday, and he's gathered the whole village for us. And so we're just standing, and they're sitting in a field right by the village, and God gave us the opportunity to preach to the whole village. And there was a few hundred people there, and it was just amazing. And when I look at that opportunity, all I can think of is, it's amazing what God can do if we let him work, isn't it? You know, the thing that gets in the way with God working in our lives many times is us. Because we don't want to follow God's will for our life. And when we allow God to work through us, so much more can be accomplished. You know, there's no way. I mean, I don't think that my charming personality can gather a whole village together. I mean, I'm a nice guy, but really, I don't think they would have all come just to hear me speak. But you know, when God works in people's hearts, and he's the one that draws them to him in a way that they can receive the gospel when we go there. And so we need to be mindful of what God is trying to do in our life and through our life. You know, sometimes we're just too proud to see our own weakness, that we have the need for God. You know, sometimes we think, ah, man, I don't need God. But we do. We do. You know, another way that we fail in missions, number two, is we fail when we're more concerned about our own glory rather than God's glory. In the same chapter, verse 11 again, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, O Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. You know, the danger as soldiers for God is, right here, is self-glory. Because so many times we're focused with ourselves, with our own wants, with our own ambitions, with our own motives. Asa here, his battle cry here was not, you know, Lord, you know, I'm going to die if you don't help here. His battle cry when he went out to fight was that he went out in God's name. He said, let not man prevail against thee. He said, Lord, if we're all killed here today, what are the people in this area of the region, what are they going to think about you? What are they going to think about your name? You know, at the end of the day, Asa was more concerned about what people were going to think about God and his name than King Asa and King Asa's victory. You know, our society today has persuaded us that, you know, it's all about us. It's all about us. You know, as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. We're seeking to do His power. We're seeking His power and His strength to do His will using His words from His book, following His commission, preaching about His sacrifice at Calvary and how He can forgive their sin. We're not in that equation at all. We're just His ambassador. We're just His representative going there, showing them how they can be saved. But there's nothing about us in there at all. It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. And a lot of times we get tripped up on ourselves. You know, people today are very caught up with their own self-image, with their own reputation. And sometimes we think that, you know, we're serving God when we're really serving ourselves. Even when we go out to do ministry, a lot of times we're just really concerned about us, how we look as we do this. You know, what people are really thinking about us and how spiritual we are as we walk into church on Sunday or as we go evangelizing. We need to be focused more on God's glory. You know, we sing the song, Glory to His Name. I think you guys know it probably. You know, glory to His name. We sing it, but do we mean it? Does our life show that we want to give glory to His name? You know, we're going to be done in just a second. You know, I was in the bush one day, and, you know, a lot of times when we go into the bush, we have an idea of where we want to go, but on this particular occasion, we got lost. And it was quite embarrassing because we're trying to find this village and we have no idea where we're going. And we're just driving. We were on a main road which kept on getting smaller and smaller, and the road turned into a gravel road, to a dirt road, to a walking path. And we're just kind of like, where are we? And, you know, I had this great idea because as I'm watching the road, I'm like, there's tire tracks. There's tire tracks on the road. If we follow the tire tracks, then obviously another vehicle is going to get to the main road eventually. So we're following these tire tracks, and I'm really pleased with myself because, you know, I'm thinking, wow, I'm quite the tracker now, you know. And so we're following, and mind you, we're lost for like 4 or 5 hours. And so we're following this thing, and we're going around this curve, and finally we catch up with the vehicle. But it's not a vehicle. It's an ox-drawn cart. with tires on it, and it's going deeper into the bush. But you know, that's kind of like what it's like when we have the wrong motive, when we're seeking our self-glory. We think we're following God when we're not really following Him at all. We're following something else that's taking us way off course. And we deceive ourselves, and we persuade ourselves in our mind that we are following God when really we're just following our own desires. So Asa here, in the midst of this battle, he realizes he needs God. He realizes he needs God's power. And without it, he can do nothing. And he realizes that it's about God's glory. And these three things we need to remember, or else we're doomed to fail every time. We're doomed to go out in our own strength, in our own ability, and we'll fail. Maybe we can accomplish a little bit, but we'll accomplish nothing like as if we would have depended on God. And then real quickly, as we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In chapter 16, we find Asa again with another battle. This battle is quite different because Asa doesn't remember the Lord. You know, not every time in your life are you going to, you know, it's sad, but how many times do we not go to God? Maybe we have victories in the past, but then we face something else and we fall apart and we forget about God. That's what's happening to Asa right here in chapter 16. He forgot about God. He forgot about God's power. Asa here is relying on his own strength. And the prophet, God sends his prophet to him. And in verse, let's see here. We'll read verse 9. And this is really the prophet's rebuke to Asa. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You know, Asa here, he faces defeat, and in this chapter, ultimately, he dies because he forgets about God. He forgets about what God can do through him. But you know, the Bible says here that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know, God is looking. You know, a lot of times we know God has eyes. We know God is everywhere. But, I mean, have you ever thought about that God is actually looking at us? He's looking through our churches. He's looking at each of you as individuals. And he's wanting to know if he can show his power strong through your life. He is. But what does the Bible say? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, Asa, in chapter 14, he won that first battle, didn't he? But he lost the second one. You know, just because we've won battles in the past doesn't mean that we're ready for today. Just because you've won something in the past doesn't mean that you're prepared for tomorrow. You know, maybe in your life you've had some great moments, but what about today? What are we doing today? Where is our focus today? You know, King Asa, he failed miserably in chapter 16. He forgot about God, and it really is a sad story. But the good news is that we don't have to follow in his footsteps, because we can look at our life and we can say, Lord, use me. We can focus our life and concentrate more on him than on ourselves. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, my son, give me thine heart. And you know, that's what God wants today. He's more interested in your heart today than anything else. You know, in chapter 16, Asa had not given his heart over to God. And you know, he failed. And today, we need to look at our own life and ask ourselves and say, is my heart given over to God in a way where I am more focused on him than on myself? And do we realize today that God is looking? He's looking at you. I mean, today, he's here in this church, and he's looking person to person, row by row. And he's looking at your life, wondering, can I use this life? Can I use this life? Or this life? He's looking at us. He's looking at our life. But are our hearts perfect towards him? Is there any room in our heart for God to use us? Or are we more concerned with just doing what we want to do? And we need to, every once in a while, we need to sit back and look at our lives and say, what am I doing? And refocus our lives, because we are in that, and we need to make a difference. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much.